Jesus is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Well done. Let's open our Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. A couple of nights ago, we were together with the Spanish ministry, did the bilingual study in Matthew, chapter 27, which talks about the crucifixion, the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's in Matthew chapter 27. Aren't you glad there is a Matthew chapter 28? So let's, I'll read it and then we'll look at it in detail. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance, his appearance, was like lightning, his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice!" So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city, reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. And when they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Well, tell them his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure." So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And we all agree by saying, amen. Amen. That's right. So the message is entitled, "You Can't Keep the Good Man Down." You can't keep the good man down. Now, all four of the Gospels record Resurrection Sunday, but none of them records everything, every detail that happened that Sunday morning. Mark records what was told to him by Simon Peter. Luke, the physician, wasn't even there among the disciples at the time, but later on he interviewed those who were there and recorded those details. Now John, he penned his gospel many years after the other gospel writers, and he added some points, some things that the other three gospel writers didn't include. But if you put them all together, I'd like to give what I think is a brief synopsis of what took place that Sunday morning, kind of the order of events that we glean from all four Gospels. So you ready for this? Here we go. 3 days beforehand, Jesus was crucified and hurriedly buried because it was mere hours before the Sabbath day. Several women saw where Jesus had been buried, decided to return to the tomb early that Sunday morning to complete the job of embalming him, preparing his body for burial. Early in the morning, while it was still even dark, several women, at least four, began making their way to the tomb. Mary Magdalene was one of them, but apparently she walked faster than the rest, and she arrived there first. When she arrived, she saw that the stone had been rolled away. She supposed that someone had moved the body of Jesus. And before the other ladies could get there, she ran off in a panic to tell Peter and John that the stone had been rolled away from the tomb. Peter and John then began running to the tomb. And in John's gospel, he records this and he says that he himself outran Peter. When you write your own gospel, you can include details like that. I whooped Peter to the tomb. In the meantime, though, before they got there, other ladies, Mary, the mother of James and Joanna, Salome, and perhaps other women then arrived at the tomb, where the angels said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Come see the place where the Lord lay and go and tell his disciples that he is risen and to meet them in Galilee." They ran off to deliver this angelic message. Shortly after they left, Peter and John arrived. John first, Peter second. John, though, stood outside the tomb, but Peter, bless his heart, he rushed right in. But then John followed, seeing the linen cloths that Jesus was wrapped in and the napkin that was about his head, all folded neatly and in separate places, the linen cloth and the head wrapping. As they left, Peter began to wonder about the significance of the scene. But John says that he believed that Jesus was risen. Then Mary Magdalene returned to the tomb, looked in, and saw two angels, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" To which she answered, "Well, because they've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Then she turned around, and there was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. She assumed he was the gardener. She was crying and overwhelmed and all. And then Jesus, asked her the same question, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said, "Well, if you just tell me where you've taken him, I will carry him away." And Jesus revealed himself finally to her and said, "Mary." To which she screamed, "Rabboni!" And then grabbed him tightly, kind of like, "You got away from me once, but you're not getting away again." But then Jesus said, "Don't cling to me, but go tell my disciples I'm risen from the dead." So Mary then went to the disciples, and the first gospel preacher told them that she had personally seen Jesus risen from the dead. Mary Magdalene was apparently the first one to see Jesus risen from the dead. Now, as Mary went to tell the disciples the good news, Jesus then appeared to those other women as they were on their way to tell the disciples the message given to them by the angels. And seeing Jesus, they held him by the feet and worshiped him. But then he commanded them to go tell the disciples that he rose and that he would meet them up in Galilee. Now, this is a brief synopsis of what the four gospel writers recorded regarding the events of that first resurrection Sunday morning. But in all four gospels, it is clear that those who came in contact with the resurrected Jesus Christ were all radically changed. This morning, we're looking at the events recorded by Matthew here in chapter 28. We will notice, once again, not only is Jesus risen from the dead, but those who came in contact with him were radically transformed both for time and eternity. Their fears turned into faith. Their worries into worship. Guess where I'm going here? Their terrors into triumph. Their panic into praise. Hey, good job. Well done. Give me back my notes. Now, in verses 1 through 8, again, we read, "You can't keep the good man down." Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, another lady named Mary, came to see the tomb. Back in chapter 27, when Jesus died, Joseph of Arimathea and a Pharisee named Nicodemus, that Jesus had met in John chapter 3, that same Nicodemus, they came and took the body of Jesus, again did a rush job, and buried him in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, and then rolled the stone over the opening. The women were there to see this event. So 3 days later, on that first Sunday morning, they did not accidentally come to a different tomb. They came to the one in which Jesus indeed was buried. They knew exactly where he had been buried. But while they were on the way, they remembered the stone. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 3, we read, "And they said among themselves, who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" Well, that massive stone was not going to be a problem. "And behold, there was a great earthquake," for the reason for the earthquake, angelic. Notice, this is heavy. The angel. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. Earthquake. His countenance, his physical appearance was like lightning. His clothing as white as snow. And, rightly so, the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. Now, when Jesus died, the religious rulers came to Pilate and said, "You know, we need to make sure that no one steals his body away, because that man had said that in 3 days he would rise from the dead. So we need to make sure that no one steals this body and keeps this myth going." And so Pilate said, "Well, okay, fine, take Roman guards, do as you wish." There were at least 4 Roman soldiers guarding that tomb. But when the angel appeared, those guards were so overcome with fear that they fainted. Angels are very powerful beings. We read in the Old Testament that in one night, one angel of the Lord killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. And do you know why that angel didn't kill 185,001 Assyrian soldiers? Because he ran out of them. He did a complete end of those Assyrian soldiers. So these soldiers, these Roman soldiers, were absolutely right to be terrified. For angels are nothing to mess with. But the angel then in verse 5 said to the women, not to the soldiers, but to the women. Said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified." You see, the Roman soldiers were in league with the enemy, trying to keep the message of the resurrection silent. And the enemies of God should be afraid, very afraid. And so this angel says, not to the guards, but to the women, "Do not be afraid." Because they came looking for Jesus. Not in the way that he was per se, but certainly they came looking for Jesus. They loved Jesus, and therefore the word of God to those who love the Lord Jesus is, do not be afraid. Notice the angel also in verse 5 says, "I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified." Not still is, but was. "He is not here, for he is risen as he said." Jesus had often said that he would rise from the dead, but during those days, nobody, not even his disciples, understood what he meant, because their agendas did not allow for a suffering and crucified Messiah. And when Jesus died, all of their hopes of kingdom glory vanished. But hope was indeed rekindled as the angels reminded these ladies about his promise of rising from the dead. He then said, "Come and see the place where the Lord lay. See for yourself, Jesus isn't dead anymore. He's not dead anymore." You know, we do not preach a dead Jesus. We love the cross of Christ, but only because there is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. A crucified Jesus doesn't do anybody any good. Oh, but if he rises from the dead, enough said. If he's risen from the dead, then all arguments go away. All resistance is futile, for he is risen from the dead. Therefore, he is who he claimed to be. And therefore, we better listen to what he said, right? And he said, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. The only way to heaven is through faith in Jesus Christ. As we read yesterday at our men's breakfast, whoever confesses with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believes in their heart that he is risen from the dead, they are saved. That's how we are saved. And because he rose from the dead, all arguments are lies. Any other opinion is a lie because Jesus rose from the dead. See for yourself. He's not here. But then he says, he puts them on commission and he says, go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. Indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So once they saw for themselves that Jesus isn't dead, that he's alive, they were then to go and quickly spread the gospel. That's the same for you and me. Once we know for sure Jesus is risen from the dead, we need to open our mouths and proclaim to the world, Jesus is risen from the dead. And he's the only way of salvation. So they went out from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. By the way, have you noticed that on that first resurrection Sunday morning, there was a whole lot of running? Whole lot of running going on. Peter and John running to the tomb. Mary Magdalene running to the disciples. These ladies, once they heard and got the word from the angels, they ran off. With a sense of urgency, they preached the good news. I hope and pray that God gives us all a sense of urgency, because the resurrected Jesus Christ is coming back soon. He's coming back soon. Gang, there's not much time left. There is not much time left. He's coming quickly, and therefore we need to get the word out quickly. Now, in verses 9 and 10, we read about a personal encounter with the resurrected Jesus. And as they, these ladies, not yet Mary Magdalene, that would be a little later, as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Notice the response of the women when they saw Jesus, simple, humble, heartfelt worship. The word worship in the original Greek language of the New Testament most of the time is the word proskuneo. Pros means toward, kuneo means to kiss. It's showing affection. When we are worshiping Jesus, it is that we are showing him affection. It may be in song, maybe in playing a musical instrument. It may just be in words of expressing love for Jesus. When we've had a real encounter with Jesus, we will indeed be worshipers of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 22, if anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. O Lord, come. Maranatha, O Lord, come. So we who have had a true experience by faith in the resurrected of Jesus Christ are those who worship him. If somebody doesn't worship the Lord, then they need to have a personal encounter with the resurrected Jesus Christ. And at the end of the service, we will have some people up front here who would love to simply lead anyone in a simple prayer of asking Jesus to be their Savior and their Lord. And if you're already a believer and you have a need, then you too can come forward and have contact with the resurrected Jesus Christ. Question. Jesus revealed himself to the women before the men, even before the disciples. Why? Why did Jesus reveal himself to the women first? Now, don't anybody say, well, it's because women talk more than the men and the word needed get out. Don't say that. That would be wrong and insensitive. Somebody say, I hear people say, that's true, that's true. Why did Jesus reveal himself to the women, especially in light of the fact that in their culture, a woman's testimony in the court of law was not allowed because it was believed by the men that women were not capable of telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So ladies, it didn't matter what you saw. They would not be interested in your testimony back then. So why then did Jesus reveal himself first to the women and tell them to go and spread the gospel that he's risen from the dead? Well, one simple answer might be in Luke chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. So this is Jesus saying, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be open. Since the women were the first to go seek Jesus, they were the first to see him and find him. And by the way, they found him in much better shape than what they had expected. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Because I'm sure it was a little off-putting. They came to see a dead body, and now here's their risen Lord. He said, don't be afraid. Go tell my brethren to go to Galilee. There they will see me. And now here these ladies became the first gospel preachers. Isn't that cool? Isn't that wonderful? Ladies, ladies, the Lord has a ministry for you. Preach the gospel. Go tell everybody Jesus is risen and he's coming back soon. Ladies, that's your job. Men, that's your job too. That's all of our jobs. In verses 11 through 15, we read about the ridiculous cover-up. The ridiculous cover up. Now, while they were going, behold, some of the guard, I guess they revived, and oh, that was terrifying. And they go back, they came into the city, reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. Now, these religious rulers were just absolutely sure that Jesus wasn't the Messiah, even though they admitted he had done many miracles. Giving sight to the blind, causing the deaf to hear, the lame to leap and walk and run, even raising the dead on at least three occasions that we read in Scripture. In fact, they knew of one for sure, Lazarus. He had been dead for 4 days. And Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And he came out, bound hand and foot, and he said, release him. And they stripped him of his grave cloths, and Lazarus was now alive again after having been dead for 4 days. Well, word got back to the religious rulers, and guess what they wanted to do? Kill who? Lazarus. They wanted to kill Lazarus. Dude, why are you wanting to kill somebody who's risen from the dead? Are you so blind religiously that you think that's a good idea? That's what religion does. Trying to be self-righteous. Trying to make sure you got all your ducks in a row, your P's and Q's and your I's dotted, your T's crossed spiritually. And then somebody comes along and says, there's no way you can save yourself. You're dead in your sins and your trespasses. And dead people can't do anything. And if you were a musician and you died, all you can do is decompose. I'm glad you're listening. Thank you. So now these guards come back to those same religious rulers. And they say, dudes. It's in the original language there somewhere. Angel came like lightning It took how many people to get the stone in front? He just pushed it away and sat on it in an earthquake, and we were terrified and we fainted. It was amazing. And what did these religious rulers do? Did they say, "Wow, we were so wrong about that, Jesus. God have mercy on our souls." Did they say that? No. When they had assembled together, verse 12, with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers. How sad that even when someone knows the truth, they can be bought off. That's these guys. They knew the truth, but yet they did not embrace the truth. If you embrace the truth, you cannot be bought off. When you know Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord, there's no talking you out of it. There's no buying you off. You belong to Him. So they gave him a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Well, tell them, if anyone asks," this is your word, "his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept." That's the narrative. That's the talking point. And when you're there at the press conference, these are your talking points. The disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. Now, if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure. So they took the sum of money, did as they were instructed, and the saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. So the guards fell asleep. Everyone knew that just that, them falling asleep while on duty, was inconceivable. Because falling asleep while on duty resulted not only in your death, but also the death of your entire family. Dereliction of duty as a Roman soldier was punished in the worst way. Your death and the death of your family. Therefore, if they said, "Well, we fell asleep," everybody knew that was a lie. But it's interesting how Satan can convince people to believe in lies, is it not? What amazes me again is how these religious rulers wanted even to cover it up. The earthquake, the angel, Jesus coming out of the tomb alive, and they still wanted to deny it. Apparently, self-righteous religion and Jesus rising from the dead do not mix. In verses 16 through 20, we read that connection leads to commission. Connection leads to commission. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee. Now again, Matthew is not recording everything that happened. There were some events that still took place in Jerusalem. But now Matthew was talking about an event that did happen late. By the way, who knows the answer to this question? From the time that Jesus rose from the dead until the time he ascended into heaven, he would appear and disappear many times. How many days was it between his resurrection and his ascension? 40 days. 40 days. During that time period, he appeared to them in Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. Verse 17, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Apparently, some hadn't shown up for that resurrection Sunday. They weren't there. What were they doing? I don't know, but I don't think it's a good idea to miss church. Look what you might miss out on. And when they were told about it, some doubted, especially one guy. What was his name? Thomas. The other disciples, this is John recording this event, the other disciples therefore said to him, "We've seen the Lord." And so he, Thomas, said to him, "Well, unless I see in his hand the print of the nails, put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Apparently, Thomas was too rational to believe in the miraculous. But graciously, as you know, the following week, Jesus appeared again and Thomas was there, and Thomas's doubts were completely removed. By the way, If you have any doubts, if you'll simply be honest, if you will just simply honestly ask God to reveal himself to you, he will. No doubt about that at all. If you're honest, say, Jesus, are you really risen from the dead? I really want to know. You'll know. He will make himself so real to you. And once he's made real to you, and then you embrace him as your Savior and Lord, which you're all, if you don't yet believe in him, you're going to do today for your eternal benefit. Once that happens, then the Lord gives us all a commission to carry out. Go therefore. In verse 18, he says, first of all, he came and spoke to them saying, all, how much authority? All authority. All means all. That's all means. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Everywhere is under the authority of Jesus Christ. You and I might say, well, it sure doesn't seem like it. But understand this. All rebellion is still under the authority of Jesus Christ, and he will deal with it. You know, sometimes the critics will say, well, if God is love, then why? Have you heard that? Have you thought that? If God is love, then why this, why that? Look, just because man is bad does not mean that God is not good. Just because man is bad doesn't mean that God is, well, God could have, yeah, but he didn't. Just because man is bad does not mean that God is not good. And understand this. All rebellion is now still under the authority of Jesus, and he will bring all rebellion into account. Everyone will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. All those who rejected Jesus are going to stand at what the Bible calls the great white throne judgment of Christ, and for them it will be too late. For them, I sure hope and pray no one here or watching or listening to this message will be in that place. Confess Jesus as Lord. Believe in your heart he's risen from the dead. Then you'll be saved. You won't see the great white throne judgment. You and I then will be judged at a different place, the Bema seat, the place of reward. That's an entirely different place. That's where we want to be found, not at the great white throne judgment. All authority, Jesus said, in heaven, on earth, has been given to him. His universe, his rules, like your fathers, you and I that are fathers and are kids, why do I have to do that? Because it's my house, my rules. It's God's house, God's rules. But once we embrace him, then the Lord gives us this commission. Verse 19, go therefore, in the authority of Jesus Christ, go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. These are the marching orders Jesus has given to his church, and they haven't changed. Making disciples begins first with evangelism, preaching the gospel to the lost. Once a person embraces Jesus as their Savior and Lord, we then begin to disciple them to encourage obedience to the Word of God. Water baptism is a form of obedience. It publicly proclaims, the person who's being water baptized is proclaiming that I am identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Also, I am identifying with all the rest of the body of Christ who have also gone the way of water baptism. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ and have not yet been baptized, let's get her done. There are baptismal request forms in the fellowship hall. Pick one up. Pick a date that you like. On a Sunday morning, we will set up the baptismal tub. We'll even get the water heaters going. And we'll make sure that we get that taken care of as soon as possible. Baptizing you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then he says in this discipleship thing, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Notice, teaching all things. Not most things, not some things, all things. This is just one of many reasons why we here at Calvary Chapel teach the Bible verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, so that I know for sure that I have taught all things. Like Paul said to the elders in Ephesus, I declare to you this day, I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. The only way I'm able to say that is if I have taught the whole counsel of God, which is the Bible, the whole thing. And that's what we do. We teach other believers how to observe all things that Jesus says, I have commanded you. That's discipleship. And then he says, by the way, good luck, see you later. You're on your own, pal. No, he says in low, and he's not just speaking with short people, low. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, to the very end. And we all again agree by saying amen. What a wonderful promise Jesus has made because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. How is Jesus with us? Because God, the Holy Spirit, dwells in every believer who asks Jesus to be their Savior, Lord. Now, the disciples did indeed go forth and preach the gospel to the entire world. Why? Because they had a real encounter with the resurrected Jesus Christ. Later on, the religious rulers marveled over Peter and John. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13, this is, of course, Jesus is risen from the dead. 40 days later, Jesus ascended into heaven. 10 days later, the Holy Spirit comes upon the believers and the miraculous signs and wonders and all. And then Peter and John would later on preach the gospel, get arrested for doing so. And the religious rulers in verse 13 of Acts 4 say, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated. You don't need an education. You just need to love the Lord and study his word and preach the gospel. Uneducated, untrained men, not in their schools. They were uneducated, untrained men, yet they marveled and realized they had been with Jesus. That is what makes the difference. Being with Jesus. Why were Peter and John so bold? Well, they had a personal encounter with the resurrected Jesus Christ. Their fears went to faith, their panic into praise. And when anyone has a personal encounter with the resurrected Jesus, he or she is radically transformed for time and eternity. Have you had a real personal encounter with the risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? We invite you this morning to come see for yourself. Come see for yourself. After the closing song, we have some people up front here ready to pray for whoever wants. But once you see, once you know, and you that are already believers in Jesus, may God fill us all with a sense of urgency that we would go out and tell a lost world that Jesus is risen.
He is risen indeed.
And Father, we thank you so much for your plan of salvation. Yes, it involved you seeing your only begotten Son suffer in a way that no human ever has or will. But it also involved Jesus rising from the dead, triumphing over sin, triumphing over death, and giving the promise that whoever believes in you will not perish, but have everlasting life. And so, Lord, we come to you this morning just thanking you and praising you, looking back on the fact that you are risen from the dead, but looking forward on the fact that you promised that you will return. So until then, Lord, help us to have an urgency in our heart to rush out, run out to those who have not yet heard, that they might hear that Jesus is risen from the dead. And if you will repent and believe in him, you will be saved from your sins. And so, Lord, thank you for a simple message that is backed by the empty tomb. Lord, we love you. We worship you. Right now, Lord, everybody in our hearts, we're saying thank you. We bless you. We worship you. We love you, Lord. We embrace you. We humble ourselves before you because you are who you claim to be. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we stand for a closing song?